morning, and thanks for tuning in KSLM this fine day here on 104.3 FM and 1220 AM as we now present Good Morning Salem with Stacy Ann.
All right, we're on. Good morning, Salem. Stacy Ann here with you, trying to figure out some of this technology today. So glad to have you along. And it helps if you have your microphone on, right? It's a Tuesday, feeling more like a Monday. Thank you for tuning in. You're listening to Reliable News Talk Radio, KSLM. We're here to encourage, educate, and engage and empower you. And I want to thank our friend Bill Sunderland from Sunderland Agency Country Financial for sponsoring our show this morning, 503-885-0789. Taking a look at the news, one of the things that we are seeing still difficulty and a challenge this morning right out of the gate. There's a story on KATU out of Portland about Oregon Employment Department. The director announcing that they're still working through the backlog of unemployment, and it's frustrating because they're getting to where they're getting through the regular unemployment, and they say that their backlog is maybe only 900 or so, but guess what? There's all the pandemic unemployment yet that has not been processed, and there's a story that was really compelling, and I wanted to share. It says, thousands of Oregonians have struggled to get unemployment benefits from the state during the global pandemic. Many of them said they had trouble paying bills, can't buy food. They burned through their savings, and at least one woman said the delay in benefits forced her to live out of her van with her daughter and her dog. Carly Hutchins never thought she'd be living out of her van. The trunk serves as a laundry room and a pantry. Her daughter's car seat sits next to the dry foods in the back seat. A cooler on the passenger seat functions as the fridge. She said she lost her service industry job in March due to the coronavirus. Timing proved to be a problem for her, though. She said she gave her 30 days notice to leave her home in February and moved in with family in March. Said that the situation became difficult and moved out. Ultimately, the mother ended up living in her van with many of her items in storage. She applied for benefits in March shortly after losing her job. 3 months later, her claim still has not been processed. She said there's a problem on her claim, and she said someone from the department called and left a voicemail, but she's not been able to get back in touch with anybody, and she's been trying and trying and trying. If we had the money when it should have been here 5 or 6 weeks or 7 or 8 weeks ago. We didn't even hit living in the van until about 7 weeks ago. No, we would not be in this situation. And I know you know people, too, who are struggling and don't have what they need for their day-to-day lives. And it's getting really serious out there. And I think it's important that we have a responsibility to take care of one another. I think it's important that we keep our eyes and ears open and look for these situations and vulnerable people like this mom and her child, that we can connect them to services and networks. And unfortunately, we have a system in Oregon to take care of people who have worked hard and earned a living. And we're supposed to have this unemployment system, right? We're supposed to have this system that's being like a safety net. And when the system crashes and it's not there for us, you know, it's troubling to me, and I think there's some solutions that we need to come to, and I get it. I get it that we don't want the government to be the one that we go to when we're in a crisis. We really need to have some safeguards personally to make sure that we're not in that situation. But most of us don't plan on being in that situation, right? We do the best that we can, and we need one another, and we need community. And I think it's important that we gather together as a community, get involved in things like the Chamber of Commerce if you're a business owner, so that they can help advocate for you. Make sure that you're in tune to the school and the school system, the school board, and those kinds of things. And again, I say, elections have consequences. Those that we elect as our local leaders are so vitally important because they're making the decisions for us. They really are. And when I find out here in Oregon, of course, I've only been back for, you know, 4 or 5 months, right? Get back and then all this COVID-19 hits. But I've been gone for 30 years. And then I learned for 30 years we've had Democrats in control. And now there's a supermajority in the state house. And so anybody in any other party trying to bring solutions, trying to be a part, be at the table to help with solutions, be bipartisan, they're shut out completely of the process. And so my question back to you and your question back to the people that you know is this. Are you happy with the current situation? Are you happy with the decisions that are being made? Are you happy with the systems that are supposed to be there to catch when we fall? I think no, 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 and no are the answers to those questions. And so this morning, to continue to be a part of the solution, right, to continue to get us to engage, talk about these things that are going on in society, we need to bring people into the studio to talk about these things, people that have solutions, people that are part of the process. And, you know, last week we had the mayor here, and we've had people running for Senate and for Congress, and people that are running for city council and commission. And I think it's important to get leaders that are doing things, that are rolling up their sleeves and a part of the solution. And today I'm so blessed and pleased to have my friend Danielle Bethel back. And she is, let me tell you a little bit about her. She's a wife. She's a mom. Those are extremely important things. She's a patriot. She's a community leader. She sits as the director of the Chamber of Commerce in Kaiser. She is on the school board, and she's running for Marion County Commission. All of those things. Danielle, I don't know, do you even get any sleep at night? Good morning.
I do. I sleep like a rock every night. I hit the pillow, and I'm done.
Awesome. We're so glad to have you here this morning. And I know I was a little bit trying to connect with you yesterday because we made this appointment like a week ago. And I'm like, oh, I know she's so busy, and I want to bug her, but I just need to know, yes, she'll be here this morning. And thank you for sending me the text. And I'll be there bright and early. And here you are, beautiful smile, geared up. Give us an update of what's going on in your life, in your world. You made it through. You were running for the primary for the commission seat.
Correct.
Marion County Commission. Congratulations.
Thank you.
Now it's game on, right?
Yeah. So it's a partisan seat. And so I won the Republican primary, but I didn't have an opponent. I was blessed to be able to kind of move into that and be able to learn to see what the community needed. And now we're off into a campaign that will lead me into November and hopefully a win there. But my life has really been consumed, like many, with COVID-19. As the director of the Kaiser Chamber, my job has changed significantly from just being a network individual to teaching people how to maybe operate their business to triaging. I've done everything from call the police to send over to a business owner to save their life in the process of suicide to sit down and evaluate a business's overhead to a day-to-day operation to try to figure out how to keep the lights on and a couple employees in place to facilitating food for people in my community. There's a need on every turn. And I'm up for the task, and I have the bandwidth and the passion to make sure that folks that have an ask are served.
And Kaiser is a pretty good good area to live in. I mean, it's growing. It's booming. Businesses are opening again. I know we've been over there. There's been restaurants that are having dine-in now. Mm-hmm. And it's a great community to live in, and your chamber is very active. How many chamber members do you have?
When we started this, we had about 430, and we've lost a handful or put mm-hmm. a handful on pause. And we also lost a significant event, our annual festival, that helps facilitate the funding for the chamber. So our chamber itself is facing a $70,000 deficit for this year. Mm. So, you know, we're strategizing and trying to figure out ways to be creative to keep all the staff employed. We did lay one off temporarily just so that way we could have a reserve a little longer. Mm-hmm. And we just brought her back, which I'm very excited about, to be back to full staff, which is just three, but three rock stars to where we're, you know, hitting the pavement running every single day. But we have a pretty diverse chamber. Our restaurants are doing pretty good. You know, we had some that closed entirely and didn't even do takeout just because the thought of adjusting, that pivot was so sharp. Mm-hmm. It was overwhelming and very emotional for folks. But mm-hmm. so far, everybody that's a member of ours, that's a restaurant, is open. And we were able to support them in some way. And we have other businesses that are slowly opening and kind of turning the lights on. This weekend, actually, the Kaiser Shopping Center, which is in the south part of town, is having kind of a welcome to summer grand opening. And all their stores are going to be open. And they're inviting the community out and having raffles. Just because we as a small community, really thrive off of having each other's presence. So I'm excited to see that.
Well, and when I talk to people and they're thinking about considering coming to Oregon, you know, of a lot of people that I know all over the country, what's it like in Oregon, and where's nice areas to live? And I always make sure to throw out Kaiser. I love it out there. And of course, I like to do a little secondhand shopping, and there's some things out there places I like to go to. And tell me a little bit about the population in Kaiser.
Yeah, so we're just under 40,000. I mean, we're still waiting for the current census to come through. Mm-hmm. I think the last I looked, we were like 39,400 or so. I refer to us as a small Mayberry that's 40,000 strong.
Did you hear that, Terry Pollard? He loves to watch me, Andy Griffith and Mayberry. That's awesome. And it really is a true reflection.
It is.
So tell me a little bit about the demographics, age, ethnicity, churches, things like
it's
that.
It's very diverse. We have about a 22% Hispanic population. We do have a significant aging population. For several years, we were the 10th city in the country to retire. Mm. We have several retirement facilities and, of course, McNairy Estates, which is a great community for folks to retire and play golf because we have a beautiful golf course. But it's a family friendly community. I mean, my mm-hmm. kids ride their skateboards down a really busy road every day, and lots of folks know who they are. They say hi, they can go get an ice cream cone and pop into my office. I absolutely love it. I couldn't have picked a better community to raise my children in because they get access to all walks of life. We have a very active church community. Mm-hmm. We have several churches in our chamber, and they work together. I think it was in 2012, our chamber helped the churches facilitate a community dinner that we do once a month on the fourth Wednesday. And it's held at the St. Ed's Catholic Church, but it's a non-denominational dinner. And they serve over 300 people every month.
Oh, wow. That's incredible.
And they've kept it going during the pandemic. Right now they're doing drive-through so that you can get your meals for whoever's in your car, whatever's needed. Mm-hmm. And all churches facilitate that every month in different ways. Seventh-day Adventists, you know, they do the dishes. We have different folks from the Mormon Church on 14th that come and do the busing and serving and greeting.
Wow.
The Catholic Church that does the cooking. And the different businesses that sponsor it. And then they partner with their local food share. So that way there's no food overhead. It's really fantastic. I recommend folks to come and check out the community if they've never been.
I do think that an experience in how Kaiser over the last 30 years has bloomed into its own entity and a community that cares for one another and supports one another has a wonderful representative, Bill Post, right?
Mm-hmm.
Who keeps everybody updated on what's going on. You're listening to Reliable News Talk Radio. In the studio with me, is it director? What is your title officially?
I'm the director.
Director of the Kaiser Chamber of Commerce. Danielle will be back after this. We'll continue the conversation.
Hello, good morning. How you doing?
It's a good morning.
Good morning, Salem. Hi, I'm Stacey Ann. Glad to be hanging out with you on this wonderful Tuesday. Already June 16th. Our weather today, 63 degrees and some rain in the forecast. But the next few days, oh my gosh, it's going to creep up through the 70s into the 80s by the weekend. And so if you haven't had a chance to go camping or hiking outdoors or perhaps something that I think Danielle's gotten into, canoeing or rafting. I'm a privileged friend of yours on Facebook, and I promise you I don't creep, but you come through my stream and I see all these fun adventure things that you're doing with your family. And that's a good thing to ask you. What do you do? You're so involved and engaged. What do you do to hit reset and refresh? Is it the canoeing and the camping and the outdoor stuff?
Yeah, we haven't had a chance to camp yet, but we kayak.
Kayak, so, that's what it is.
Yeah, I got into it myself last summer just because I really wanted a break from life. And mm-hmm. to get into a kayak and go down the river with a girlfriend or by yourself was really freeing. And my kids were really interested, so I picked up a couple extra kayaks for them and just head up to Detroit. It's my favorite place to go because it's honestly, excuse me, from a mom's heart. I find it safer because
yes.
the water's not flowing, and mm-hmm. if they fall out, then I can get over to them pretty quick. Thankfully, they haven't yet, and they're old enough to be equipped, but I'm still a paranoid mom.
Oh, of course. Always. I took my son and his wife. They're married. They're in their 20s. We're at the coast, right? And the rocks and the tidal pools, and my son's he's 23 years old. He's 6'4". And I'm like, Nathan, be careful, watch for the sneaker waves,
know?
And I'm like, but he's not familiar with the ocean either, but always a mom.
Yeah,
always
it never ends.
Never ends. So this is what you do to enjoy life. Have you ever done the paddle board where you stand on a board? And that looks like a complete upper body workout. Is the kayaking an upper body workout?
Yes.
Pretty good.
It's actually a great full body workout,
mm-hmm.
depending on the wind.
Yes.
I haven't done paddle boarding. I'd be interested in trying it, but I think that's more of like a warm day because I'm sure I'm going to enjoy the water
mm-hmm.
at the same time that I'm learning.
Yes. Well, maybe you'll have to take a couple good friends that don't mind, us all falling in or something
right.
like that. Yes. Well, it's fun to think about what we can do to stay refreshed and get regrouped to go back into the battle in a sense, right? And so when we talk about the chamber and the role of the chamber and the other things that you do, which we'll get into, but let's go back to the chamber. And if there's a business, a small business out there that's always wondered about being a part of the Kaiser Chamber, what does that look like? How do they get involved?
Well, they can check out our website, but really what I prefer is a phone call and a sit down for coffee.
Mm-hmm.
We do host an event every month called Member 101, and it's open to anybody who wants to learn about the chamber, new and old. The chamber really needs to meet the needs of the individual. We do have membership packages, but no business is alike. Even
mm-hmm.
if they're in the same industry, they're very different. I have said very frequently in the last 4 months that most business owners are passionate about what they do, but they don't have degrees in business. So the concept of really being successful and sustainable is really emotional to them.
Mm-hmm.
And so we try to bring in the logical perspective and connect them either with myself or other professionals that can help them be really successful and kind of just bring in different components of business, whether it's a business plan or marketing opportunities, teaching them to think outside the box, or even just pushing on business. We do a variety of unique things. Recently, I had mentioned I had gone to a restaurant and just sat down and looked at kind of their whole business model
mm-hmm.
and really just picked key things out that I knew of them that they loved and were able to facilitate those into a successful how do I stay closed but do takeout when
mm-hmm.
I've never done takeout before kind
mm-hmm.
of a thing. And then went in and, marked X's on the floors to help them understand the 6-foot distance and really review the guidelines because of the COVID-19 scenario. And we're a source of information. We're a place where people can call and say, I don't know, and we will give it to you.
Yeah.
I helped a business the other day specifically figure out how to pay her rent because her landlord was unable to not cover the cost of their rent anymore. And she was just really struggling with the application for the CARES Act funding for
mm-hmm.
PPP, and her bank has been backlogged and she's had no one to talk to.
Right.
And it was just through actually Jimmy Jones at the Mid-Willamette Valley Community Action Agency sent
mm-hmm.
me an email and said, hey, can you help this gal? And she's in Jefferson.
Mm-hmm.
Yes is the answer.
Yes.
I've helped people in Arkansas.
Yay. That's fantastic.
Chambers are there to answer the call.
Yes.
Whatever it is.
Yes. And roll up the sleeves and bring solutions.
Yeah.
And if you don't know, someone who may.
That's right.
You build bridges and all of that. And I love that networking. And if you're not involved, if you're an independent business owner out there, and even if you have a home-based business before everybody went home to work, you have a home-based business, you have a little marketing business or whatever, I encourage you as an individual, you can become a part of the chamber, the webinars, the extra training, the meet and greets, the networking. It's really critical. to the growth and development of your business. And again, how can they get a hold of the Kaiser Chamber?
You can call us at 503-393-9111 or go to kaiserchamber.com.
Fantastic. And I think you have something coming up, don't you, this week, even like a meet and greet or
something? This morning, every Tuesday at 8:30, we host a greeters, which is open to all of our membership. It's on Zoom, so you'd have to call in to get the code because we don't publish it. And we're going to be talking about Marion County Fair today.
Oh.
And what that's going to look like, because they're going to do some online platforms rather than canceling it 100%.
Oh, well, that's encouraging to know this.
Yes.
And so then you've been doing Zoom meetings, you've been training, you've still been staying connected. When does your office open? Not until probably phase two, right?
No, we've been open the whole time.
Yay.
Yeah. So you didn't actually have to close your office unless you had specific parameters that were unsafe for your employees. And we're a small 3-person office that has adequate space for social distancing. Mm-hmm. So we've been open all along, which has been really beneficial for folks because they needed to come in and connect. Mm-hmm. That emotional connection is really critical. Something that's really fun to share about the chamber is we're not just about business to business, but we're also business to government.
Mm.
One of the great opportunities I had recently because of my run for commissioner was to really get to know the Marion County Farm Bureau.
Oh, yeah.
And I sat in on one of their board meetings and learned about some challenges that they were experiencing. And so I called the commissioners and said, you folks need to be present. And because of that, and I sat in on 3 or 4 meetings post this, they have created a roadmap for agriculture in Marion County.
Good.
In partnership. And that really is because the chamber is everywhere.
Oh, my gosh. And you represent so many different businesses and aspects.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's one great thing that's come out of this already, huh?
Yeah.
You look for the silver lining, right?
Yes.
In a difficult time and the light coming through and all of those things. Yes. Well, after this break, let's talk a little bit more about commission stuff.
Okay.
And maybe some school stuff, too.
Sure.
Does that sound good? You're listening to Reliable News Talk Radio, KSLM, news that you can use on this Tuesday and every day. Hanging out with Danielle today from the Kaiser Chamber. She also sits on the Kaiser Salem School Board. We'll talk about that as well. We'll be back after this.
Good morning.
Good morning.
It's a good morning. Wake up to a brand new day. This morning.
Good morning, Salem.
Good morning.
Kaiser. Mount Angel. Silverton, Turner, wherever you are today. Maybe you're in Arkansas or South Dakota. We're so glad to have you a part of the morning show. I'm Stacey Ann, hanging out with Danielle. And I don't know, Danielle, if you and your family during the COVID, a lot of families have been working in their yards, cleaning things up. And here's the neat thing, and this is a Kaiser-based business. Clayton Ward Recycling is accepting concrete, wood, yard debris, dirt, and gravel. Also cardboard, newspaper, and office paper. Some charges may apply, but many items, there are no charges. And there's no waiting, easy unloading, fast and friendly service. Family-owned and operated for over 50 years. Clayton Ward Recycling off of Mainline Drive there in Kaiser. And they're open Monday through Friday, 7 to 5, Saturday, 7 to 3. Give them a call, 503-393-8700. Another great business in Kaiser. Yeah.
And I went out there and toured it. I was amazed at the operation. They even let me drive back behind where they were like tearing down trees and putting
them
in the, yeah, it was quite the operation. And I just brought my like huge stack of Statesman journals, you know. And you know, being back to Oregon, it is so nice. And I remember this growing up, you know, recycling the bottles, getting the money for the bottles, being very conscientious and how clean everything is. You know, it's just part of how I was raised. And it's kind of a fun story that I had when I was in Arkansas, when Terry and I were first dating. We went on this little excursion and there was just trash all around, you know, and it's just normal for me to, and it's like the can had fallen over or something.
Oh, sure.
And I just grabbed a little bag and started picking it up and putting it in there. And it's like, that's just kind of, he's looking at me like, whoa, she really cares about the environment. And she really, you know, I think he was impressed, or I think he was thinking, now maybe I should help her. I don't know. But Oregon, we are very good. We try to be very good stewards of our environment, of one another. We really do have community here. And walking through this COVID time and now with these protests and riots, I think a lot of us are like, how did we get here? Because I've always looked at Oregon in my adulting experience away from here as kind of a leader in a sense, even though it's been very progressive in ways that don't line up with my conservative thinking. I've always thought that there is such a spirit of community and wanting mm-hmm. to help one another out. And in a time when things are so divisive, we need to look for ways to step up, be a part of the solution. Don't go to sleep. Don't say, well, what good does it do anyway, right? You
right.
need to vote. You need to be active. And so when we talk about the commission, I want to say accolades to our commissioners. We only have 3 commissioners, and this is a big county.
Right.
And so when we have a vacancy, like the seat that you're running for, this is a big deal.
Yeah.
We need to have someone like Danielle in this capacity who has the community ties, who has the experience, who not only knows the business side of things, but she knows the education side of she's from here, she knows it. And I'm just going to throw this in there. We need a woman perspective. Just saying. That's my own little endorsement, but I think you bring all of these beautifully to the table. Plus, we didn't talk about this in our county. We also have a Hispanic presence, but we have a Native American Indian perspective here mm-hmm. that's very important in our community. And having that relationship and knowing how important that is in our community. And you have touched on so many of these things. Talk to me a little bit about why you're running for a commission.
Well, I think it changes often. The more... Every time someone needs something, my reason changes.
Mm-hmm.
I'm running because this is my neighborhood. Marin County might be the 5th largest county in Oregon, but I have friends and family in every section of it. And I am just tired of the status quo, and I'm tired of the political oppression and the political disconnect, and I'm tired of the thought that you just can't do something different. Mm-hmm. I am the different. I believe that people see me as an anomaly. I'll sit at any table with any person to have any conversation. I'm not afraid to be wrong. I really find growth and new things to be really exciting and invigorating for myself and for those around me. And I'm not afraid to share the things that I'm learning.
Mm-hmm.
We have an excellent Board of Commissioners. I've worked with them very closely since I decided to run. I announced in October. And I'd say in the last 3 months since COVID hit, I've learned more about what this county does than I ever could have thought.
Mm-hmm.
We have a very diverse community, very diverse. Whether you're you have a gender challenge that you feel is the front topic for your life, or a cultural challenge, or a financial challenge, or a political challenge, our commissioners deal with it all.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I sat in on a 4-H conversation. I had no idea that the Marin County Commission had anything to do with 4-H.
Mm-hmm.
4-H was something I always wanted to be a part of as a child. I grew up here in Northeast Salem. I grew up with the Native American community. I grew up very poor. I was homeless. My mom had significant mental health issues. And I've had exposure. I have adversity.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I think ultimately I just want to be helpful.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't want it to be a political driven help.
Right.
I'm just really tired of showing up and knowing that the person that's asked me to the table has their own narrative that they want me to spew out to.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not perfect. I mean, I say things and I do things and I lead with my heart. But there are people around me that see the things that I have done. I've been very successful at every project I've ever taken on because I'm committed.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm exceptionally loyal to people.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't care what kind of a people you are.
Right.
It's
right.
It's not relevant to me.
You're the friend in high school that you looked for the ones that didn't have friends. That's kind of how I was. And you brought them into the fold, right?
I was the friend in high school that had very few friends because of the adversities that I was facing.
Mm.
A lot of folks now as an adult, you know, almost 25 years later, I've run into people who I went to high school with, and they always thought I was so mean.
But,
and it was only because I was reserved and I kept to myself.
Mm-hmm.
I had things I needed to focus on.
Right.
You know,
survival.
Where was my next meal going to come from? Was the person I was living with at the time going to, you know, ask me to move along when I got home from school that day? You know, I didn't struggle the same way some kids who experience homelessness today struggled, but I still had the same struggles in a way that, when you're 16, 17, or 18, and you don't have a stable structure behind you, you have to get up every day and decide what's today going to look like.
Mm-hmm.
I'm very optimistic, And I believe that we each have something to offer.
Yes.
And I was asked to run for commissioner. It wasn't an idea of my own. I had no idea even what they did before I looked into the job. Mm-hmm. And I've absolutely fallen in love with the position since COVID-19, which seems crazy because how can you fall in love with anything in a crisis? But I'm a doer and yes. I'm a fixer. I'm a problem solver.
Right.
Show me something that you think you can't solve. And I'm going to beat you to the punch to make sure we find a solution.
Right. And with COVID and moving up, there's a comprehensive plan each commission, that each county comes up with
right.
to submit to the governor. And I know how terribly disappointed our commissioners were in all the work. I mean, they submitted their application even before they were accepting applications to go into phase one.
Right.
And then they weren't accepted. And then we were denied the first go around in Marion mm-hmm. County. And then we've been doing this well, I believe, in phase one. And now to have everything put on pause, it's this roller coaster thing going on at Marion County, but they stay the course. And they're taking input from community, and they're not hiding away from people.
Right.
They're saying this is the best we're doing, and they're staying in communication. I love that, and I know when you're a part of that, it's only going to get better. You know, as we move into phase two, what are things that people can look forward to?
Well, I mean, ultimately, you can look forward to being in bigger groups.
Mm-hmm.
There's some lack of transparency that's pretty consistent with the governor's leadership since always, in my opinion.
Mm-hmm.
But you can read the guidelines and know that you can be out and about with your community more. One of the organizations that I've been working with for the last few weeks is the Enchanted Forest.
Oh, wonderful people. We've had them on the show here.
Okay.
Oh, man, they're determined, aren't they?
They are. Susan's an amazing woman.
Yes, she is.
And it's perplexing to me at best that they're not open.
Mm-hmm.
They're an outdoor facility in the middle of the woods that has ample space for social distancing and very critiqued control mechanisms for their guests.
Highly trained people, too.
Uh-huh.
Staff.
Yeah, they've been doing it for a very long time. And
yep.
there's a national platform that shows, you know, similar to the CDC that it seems like our state doesn't pay attention to, but they're also not paying attention to the experts in the industries that are being really hindered.
Mm-hmm.
And I asked her last week to give me a really detailed square footage, space by space, of the Enchanted Forest, because I'm determined to help her not only get open, but be successful. You know, they're saying max 250 in phase two, and that includes employees. On a regular day in the summer, the Enchanted Forest sees over 2,000 people.
Yes.
And although she'll settle with the status quo of 250 just to get her doors open, to get any kind of income, to try to stay afloat, I feel it's unacceptable.
Well, and if Disney World can figure it out, or Disneyland can figure it out,
right.
and Orlando, all these places, you know, Universal Studios, and if Las Vegas can open up again.
Right.
I'm thinking that certainly, and their populations are a lot different than ours. I mean, the grandiose dealings with daily
yeah.
influx of people. I think there's a way that we can get our Enchanted Forest going again. And a lot of our bowling alleys, you know, a lot of our amusement type things. And I'm curious how 4th of July is going to play out. You know, that's just around the corner.
Yeah. I mean, I try not to go rogue too much, but I think that you just need to do you.
Mm-hmm.
I think that there's only so much limitation, and depending on the county you live in and the enforcement that's going to be forced upon you, you need to be informed. I know in Marion County that Salem, Kaiser, and Marion County Sheriff, the police office departments have said they're not going to enforce particular information from the state. And so that does limit the overhead and the overreach from the governor to individual citizens. It's very oppressing for business owners. It's exceptional. Terrifying and crippling to some of them, that level of control and distrust that she offers to business owners. It's really dissatisfying to me to see that. And I sit on a task force weekly mm-hmm. with the governor's office, providing input and pressing challenging questions to try to get us to go a little further with the experts.
The difficulty for me is it feels like there's favorites.
Oh,
it feels
sure.
like they're playing favorites at the governor's level and picking their friends and how they're promoting them.
I used to think Multnomah County was the favorite, but since she denied them their phase one, I'm a little curious what her mindset is now.
Wonder what's going on there. You're
yeah.
listening to Reliable News Talk Radio, KSLM, news that you can use on this Tuesday and every day. We'll be back after this.
Good morning.
Good morning, Salem. Stacey Ann hanging out with you on this wonderful Tuesday. And I have Danielle Bethel. We're having a wonderful time talking about all things Kaiser and Salem and having a wonderful discussion about Marion County. And Danielle's got a unique perspective, and she really is well-rounded, a Renaissance woman, I think, you know, if there is such a thing. She knows this area well, and she has a compelling story, a personal story that's compelling, and she's full of compassion and full of wanting to be a part of the solution. And that's really, friends, that's where we're at. You know, it's easy to complain, and it's easy to sit there and pick things apart. You know, what do they call it? Monday night quarterback or whatever they call it. You know, you're thinking about all the things, and it's easy to see all of the big gaping holes on the sidelines. But when you're in the game and you're being up, you have the opportunity to step up to the table and be a part of the solution, and you're actually doing it, that's rare. And so, Danielle, I just, again, I commend you and the people that you surround yourself with and the ways you get involved and how you stir and kind of poke in places to get people to wake up. And the new word right now, right, we've heard it all throughout, is the wokeness, right?
Oh, yeah.
The wokeness and, you know, and the pivot and all of these new things since COVID. But you have done this well, and people are watching, and you're leading, and people are following, and you're a trailblazer to some extent. And when we start talking now, we're going to get into some difficult area when we talk about the Kaiser Salem School,
mm-hmm.
and the board and parents and many of our listeners, most parents that listen, you know, probably had children mostly in high school, maybe middle school, but mostly a lot of grandparents or great grandparents. And we're concerned about the future of education in the sense that kids having an experience with this COVID, even my grandchildren back in South Dakota, thinking about, I think about them having the masks on and the distancing and all the things that they've missed about school interaction with their peers and even their teachers and those kinds of things. And then you add on top of that the discussion of the resource officers and the safety part of school and the protocol. And I remember going to Sprague, and I don't remember, I graduated in 87, I don't really remember a presence of a school safety officer. Now, I don't remember a threat either of school shootings. I do remember country guys, maybe they had the ability to publicly carry their rifle in their mm-hmm. truck, you know, kind of the country boys in their big old Ford trucks and on the back. Maybe some of that I kind of remember, but it wasn't an issue. Maybe we had a bomb threat, perhaps around a final,
sure.
you know, that
yeah.
we had to, you know, disperse on or something. I kind of remember that. But things have changed in the last 25 years, last 20 years with the needs and the discussion of what is the role of a resource officer, a police officer in the school. And I don't think it's necessarily policing. It's
right.
a community presence, and it's an awareness, and it's making them accessible to students to be aware that, hey, they're an advocate for them, right? Is that their role, you think?
Absolutely. The number one role of an SRO in the Salem-Kaiser School District is to prevent arrest.
Mm-hmm.
So just a scenario, let's say that there's a youth at one of the local high schools who's gotten themselves into a handful of trouble. If there's no SRO in a school right now and the police are called, you're going to get a patrol officer.
Mm-hmm.
You're going to get a foreign entity, human being, that's going to show up and do their job, which is to take into custody and deal with the crime at hand. But if you have an SRO in the building, somebody who's probably aware and equipped with the relationship or the status of that student, let's say that maybe it's a student in foster care.
Mm-hmm.
The SRO is fully involved behind the scenes and knowing what that student's life looks like. Maybe they know that a parent went to prison recently or a parent was recently arrested, and they know that there are circumstances to the behavior behind that student. It's the role of the SRO to engage with a wraparound team, whether it's outside the building of the school or inside the building, to prevent that kid from going to jail,
mm-hmm.
To get them the resources and to act instantly. There is not a body, not one professional in any of our schools right now that can do an investigation on their own, except for a police officer.
Mm.
Let's say that we have a student. I can tell you, I took a call from a dad. I think it was Thursday last week. He had some daughters that went to a high school over in Deschutes County, and they were being sexually abused by their stepfather. And there was a police presence in their school, an SRO, one gentleman. And one of the girls one day had a complete meltdown. And the SRO came in and just asked some questions. And she told them all the things. And immediately that officer was able to begin an investigation. The officer didn't have to call DHS as a mandatory reporter and make a claim and wait for the process to start. He started the process right then and there to serve that child's needs immediately. And because of that SRO, those girls were removed from that situation. There's a story up in Portland that recently came out about it. I personally interacted with an SRO last year in Kaiser who saved the life of a young man. Because we knew that this young man was suicidal. Mm. That officer was able to go and respond and immediately take action.
Yes. And so there's a safety protocol and a safety element into the schools, not just from an outside threat, but from the adolescent things that go on in life and when there's a need and lack of support and all of those things. So we don't have a lot of time left, but this is kind of a critical thing in the school board right now. What do people need to do to get informed? Because there's this discussion about removing them or defunding them. And my understanding from the mayor is it's part of the city and the school. They share that expense. Is that correct? So what do they need to do? What do people need to do to say, hey, we want this position in a school?
Well, we as a school board are going to be addressing it on June 23rd, which is next Tuesday. And the agenda for that meeting drops this Thursday, the 18th. And there will be a link in that agenda to submit public comment. And people need to weigh in community-wide, one side or the other. And I don't want to just hear from people that they want them there. I want to know why. Why is it important to our community to have those officers in the building? What I want people to understand is that the SROs are important and I'm passionate about it, but I'm not passionate about the exact scenario that they're in there right now. Mm-hmm. Our chief of police in Salem and Kaiser and our sheriff are all willing to have a conversation. Everybody's important in this role. Yes. All the students and how they feel is critical. But we have to serve them all. We can't just serve one group or the other.
Exactly. And what I found is not only you say that you want them there or don't want them there, give an example. Give a personal story that always has huge impact.
Yeah.
And send it to all of the board members, not just one particular, right?
Right.
Send the same stories to all of the board members. And is there a website where they can find this information? Or
there is. The Salem-Kaiser School District has a website. But if you go to Danielle Bethel for Salem-Kaiser Public Schools on Facebook. I did a video last week telling folks how to submit public testimony, and it's really important that you follow that process so you get into the official record.
Okay, and we'll put that on our Facebook page. We'll put a link so people can get involved and be heard on this issue. Still meeting via Zoom, I'm guessing,
correct,
and those kinds of things. So there's a little bit of a barrier to get through, but you've described this in your video where people can get
involved. Can submit video testimony, you can call in that night, or you can write in testimony.
So how do people, we're going to go back over to the commission and your race for commission. How do people get involved in your race? How do they support you? What's your website there?
DanielleBethel.com.
Excellent. Thank you for coming in and hanging out. Do you have something fun now the weather's warming up? Are you going to go kayaking probably?
I just bought a boat.
You did?
Like a real motorboat. So my husband and I are going to go do that this weekend.
Oh, wonderful. Shout out to the hubby.
Yay.
And to the family. What's his name?
Nathan.
Hi, Nathan. You're doing great with Danielle. We're having fun this morning. Thank you for joining me today. Let's do it again, huh?
Okay, soon? Absolutely.
All right. You're listening to Reliable News Talk Radio, KSLM. Boy, the time goes so fast. Thank you for tuning in, my friend. Remember, over, under, around, or through, we can get through this. You and I, we're overcomers. Be blessed.